In the previous episode, we gave you some of the cryptic details of the notorious deal of the century. We talked about the deal's maps and its mysterious author. In this episode, we cover the deal's main points and some shameful sellouts, finally concluding our analysis of the deal of the century. The deal's main points. Jerusalem will be Israel's undivided capital. Under Trump's plan, the Al-Aqsa compound, an 8th century religious site regarded by Muslims as the third holiest site in Islam and important to all three Abrahamic faiths, will be totally under Israeli control. This, while the Al-Aqsa compound has been under the administration of the United Nations since 1947. All international access will solely be controlled by Israel. Israel's immediate control of more than 30% of the West Bank and the Jordan Valley. Israel will maintain overriding security responsibility for the Palestinian state, which will be fully demilitarized. This includes the removal of democratically elected Hamas from the Gaza Strip and declaring the Gaza Strip a weapon-free zone, effectively leaving the Palestinians defenseless in the face of a future Zionist attack. Palestinians will be forced to recognize Israel as a Jewish state, completely casting aside the countless Arabs living inside Israel and up to 30% of the total population who are not Jewish. And to add to the humiliation, it forces the Palestinians to legitimize and thus submit to Zionist colonial claims over their motherland. All illegal Zionist settlements built in the occupied West Bank since 1967 will become legal and annexed to Israel and cannot be uprooted. This is while all previous foreign mediated agreements between the Palestinians and Israelis, as well as repeated United Nations resolutions, have mandated Tel Aviv to withdraw behind the 1967 borders. Furthermore, the Zionist settlements which the deal is trying to legalize are illegal under international law, according to the 4th Geneva Convention, Article 49, which states, "The occupying power shall not deport or transfer parts of its own civilian population into the territory it occupies." And to make matters worse, according to the deal, settlement limitations will be removed in the future. Palestinian refugees and their descendants, who now number between 5 to 6 million people, will have no right of return to their homeland. This point of the deal is in direct violation of United Nations Security Council Resolution 242, which calls on Israel to withdraw its forces from territories it had occupied in the Six-Day War, as well as the right of return for Palestinian refugees. The Jordan Valley, which accounts for almost one-fourth of the West Bank, will be under Israeli sovereignty, meaning Israel will annex the strategic Jordan Valley, giving Israel a permanent eastern border along the Jordan River, effectively being able to cut off all water supply to Palestinian farms and orchards in the West Bank. And along these lines, the United States has officially recognized Israel's annexation of the Syrian Golan Heights. The capital of a future Palestinian canton will be Abu Dis, an area less than 4 kilometers squared on the outskirts of Jerusalem, outside of Israel's separation wall. Under the deal, the Palestinians, who are both the indigenous and the majority population of Palestine, will have to accept a mere 15% of their country, and that too shrunken into 4 miserable cantons, 3 in the West Bank separated by illegal Zionist settlements and 1 in Gaza. Finally, the United States thanks Bahrain, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates for supporting the deal. The sellouts supporting the deal. It wouldn't be possible to implement this deal of the century without the help and acquiescence of regional sellouts. And so it is necessary to call out these regional sellouts who have stabbed the Palestinian people in the back. During the unveiling of the deal of the century in Washington, D.C., where Trump made the announcement alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, ambassadors from the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Oman were in attendance and were thanked by Trump for their support. Egypt. The Egyptian Foreign Ministry issued the following statement appreciating what it called continuous efforts exerted by the United States administration to achieve a comprehensive and just settlement of the Palestinian issue. The ministry further stated that Egypt calls on the two relevant parties to undertake a careful and thorough consideration of the U.S. vision to achieve peace and open channels of dialogue under U.S. auspices for the resumption of negotiations. The foreign ministry also added that Egypt recognizes the importance of considering the U.S. administration's initiative from the perspective of the importance of achieving the resolution of the Palestinian issue, thus restoring to the Palestinian people their full legitimate rights through the establishment of a sovereign independent state in the Palestinian occupied territories in accordance with international legitimacy and resolutions. If the Egyptian government would have bothered to read the deal of the century, or even just its main points, they would have realized that the deal goes against everything they released in this statement of theirs. But what can you expect from a guy who studied at the Military Staff College in Britain and the United States Army College in Pennsylvania? Interestingly, Egypt has been receiving U.S. financial aid at an average of $1.6 billion per year since 1979. Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Foreign Ministry towed the line in a similar statement, saying that the kingdom supports all efforts aimed at reaching a just and comprehensive resolution to the Palestinian cause, and that the kingdom appreciates the efforts of President Trump's administration to develop a comprehensive peace plan between the Palestinian and the Israeli sides and encourages the start of direct peace negotiations between the Palestinian and Israeli sides under the auspices of the United States. Based upon their absurd statements, it is clear that the Saudis never even bothered to read the deal of the century before asking the Palestinians to go along with it. Because if they had, the Saudis would have known that the deal is only in the interests of the Zionists. It was also reported in the Lebanese daily Arabic language newspaper Al-Akhbar that Saudi Crown Prince bin Salman said to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas that,
"I will give you $10 billion over 10 years if you accept the deal of the century."
When you have so-called Muslim leaders like these guys, who needs enemies? The deal of the century doesn't create a state for the Palestinians. Rather, it creates for them a sterile Arab Bantustan with no contiguous territory, no border with other Arab states, no control over water or other vital resources, loss of Jerusalem as a religious, cultural, political, and touristic center, no direct control over their security, and various economically non-viable patches of barren land. That's some deal. In this episode, we gave you all the cryptic details of the dastardly deal of the century. And after seeing the various ins and outs of this deal of the century, it sounds more like it's the steal of the century. The stealing of Palestine right in front of the world's eyes. But despair not, dear friends, because the whole world has decided to oppose the Zio-American plot, and the steal of the century has failed right from its inauguration. Stay tuned for our next episode on the steal of the century, where we show you the unbelievable global reactions to the deal of the century.